Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We'll go straight into it. We've got Adam Wilson, who is CEO at Ben's Creek, who has joined us, a company that's new to the market. How are you today, Adam?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Zach. Sorry, just struggling with the mute button. Yes, I'm in beautiful Kentucky today in America. So I mean, it's a lovely day.
All right. I thought it was West Virginia, but maybe you can.
We're in West Virginia. I just happen to be in Kentucky, just over the border. But the mine is in West Virginia. You're absolutely
right. So I mean, just for people who are not familiar with Ben's Creek, it's quite a sort of down home name. I'm not quite sure what the Americans call it, but anyway, it's quite a cute name for a mining company. What does Ben's Creek do?
Ben's Creek is a metallurgical coal miner, right? So we mine into a mountain using a high wall miner. So it's very environmentally friendly. We only dig into the met coal seam and we leave a small hole. The thing goes back 1,000 feet, comes back out, moves along. We mine met coal, and met coal is essential for the production of steel. So we're a met coal miner over 10,000 acres. We have a full wash plant, a full railway, 5-mile railway spur that connects to the main line and a rail loadout. So we are an essential element in the production of steel.
Right. Well, luckily, I'm too old to get involved in all the environmental woke ESG stuff. So you're safe with me on that. A mine is a mine, et cetera, et cetera. But what is the demand for your product, and what at this stage in the cycle are you in a good place?
We're in a great place because we've got a huge demand for the product. Firstly, the whole greener element, the push for greener minerals means that you need sort of windmills in the Pacific to produce wind energy. You need solar panels in the Midwest to produce solar energy. And even electric cars require stronger steel, stronger, lighter steel to run on. So at least in the first days of that build out, even though we're a carbon producer, we're a key element in the sort of decarbonization of the economy. You need to put boron steel, for example, in a Tesla. All the windmills are made out of this sort of lighter steel, and all the solar panels are generally encased in steel. So all of that is pushing a demand for steel. Secondly, you've got, after COVID, most infrastructure bills from India, Pakistan, and latterly the US, they want to put their population back to work, you know, via roads and tunnels and bridges and hospitals, all of which require steel. So you've got two big demand boosts there, one for the sort of decarbonization, cleaner energy, one for the infrastructure bill. And at the same time, because mining generally involves mining for power and only a little bit for steel, coal mines have been shutting down. So there's a big extra demand. And at the same time, you've got the supply squeezed. So met coal pricing, much as steel pricing, has gone up pretty much 300% in the last year. So we're in a great place. We've got all the permits, all the licenses. We only mine met coal. We don't mine thermal coal, so we don't pollute like thermal coal does, which has much higher ash content. We're a much cleaner coal, a much more higher carbon content and a lower ash. That's because it's used for the steel. It's got a higher carbon content. And the way we mine using a high wall miner is much better for the environment. We don't take the whole mountain away and then reclaim it. We just dig a hole into the coal, move along 50 foot into the coal along 50 foot. So it's minimal reclamation, much safer and much better for the environment.
Right. I mean, looking at just the information I've seen about your company so far, it seems to be that you've got quite a significant asset and you'll be producing quite a significant amount going forward. The market cap is only sort of 40 million. That seems to be that you're the price to fly in terms of the IPO.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. All of the shareholders are going to stay with the company. So we didn't need to put it on at a high market cap. We would like to get there, travel better than to sort of start at a high price. Coal is a difficult subject to market. A lot of American coal companies have been unable to tap the market. So we were very, very cautious in asking investors to come into what is, you know, a challenging environment to invest in coal. So we came in at the same value as the assets on the balance sheet. We're 1x the assets on the balance sheet, which is the big wash plant, the railway line, and the rail loadout. You know, we've signed an offtake, which is announced today, so you can see how much we're selling the coal for. So we're coming at about, you know, less than one and a bit times earnings. So really very cheaply, none of the major shareholders are selling, and we want to make sure that any early stage investors in us, you know, don't get into trouble investing in coal. So we wanted to make it very attractive for investors. As I said, the major shareholders have no intention of selling into this price. We're all locked in fact, 12 months hard and 12 months soft. So we're locked into the stock for the next 2 years.
Right. And then just finally, you obviously have this great news that you've just announced to the market. Are there any other milestones you can sort of point to us so that you're looking for, or you'd like to achieve in the near term?
Yes, I mean, I think the first one you've touched on, Zach, we'd like to get into production in the month of November or very early into December. So that'll be a very positive announcement. And I expect to prove up more reserves. We've got 17 million reserves at the moment, and we want to get more of that. There's potentially on the listing document for up to 50 million. So we are going to be drilling almost immediately to prove up those reserves and resources to increase the amount of tonnage we've got there. It's a huge site, 10,000 acres. We can mine up to 3 million tons a year. We're only projecting to do 500,000 in the first year. So the news flow coming forward will be how we prove up the resources and the reserves as we increase, go into production, and then hopefully increase the production as we go.
Adam Wilson, CEO at Benn's Creek, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Zach. Pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, hey, guys.
Yep, all good.
Cat's having a fight outside. Okay, so Adam, I'm going to ask you some questions just about the mine itself. Okay, sure. We had some previous discussions about the types of coal, or we should say the types of carbon, because at the end of the day, this is carbon. So just give us a bit of an overview of the different types of carbon that are available to the market, if you like.
Sure, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I mean, all carbon eventually was, you know, comes from the forestation vegetation that was, you know, basically crushed down hundreds of millions of years ago, and tends to be how much pressure that vegetation was under is and how deep it is in the earth's surface. So you tend to get the nasty coal, the thermal coal, which is burnt for power. That tends to be closest to the surface and in the biggest seams. That's the kind of dirtiest coal, often has 30% ash. When that burns out, that ash goes into the environment with the carbon and pollutes the most. As you go down into the earth's core, you get more coal formed under more pressure. And as it's formed under more pressure, the carbon element squeezes out the ash. So you get a higher element of fixed carbon, which is what you want to produce power and steel and all that. That's the real, the energy comes from. And the ash, which is the bad stuff, the impurities, ash, hydrogen, you know, tend to shrink. So the next sort of level going down through the earth's core is met coal, which is what we predominantly look for. That's much less ash and much more carbon. And then you go down to fuel and anthracite, lignite, and all these sort of harder coals. So the deeper you go, the higher quality the coal. And they're all made, you know, hydrocarbon means that coal is basically the same carbon that's in fuel.
Okay. So just explain the process of how the coal is required to make the steel, because I mean, the whole process behind this is coal is bad, full stop. Okay, so we're
Well, again, you see, that's a slight misnomer, right? Thermal coal is, it tends to be bad, because what you do with thermal coal is you put it in a power station, you burn it off, it emits carbon, and all the ash goes up the flue pipe and gets into the environment. So that all heats up the greenhouse gas. So that's what makes it bad. As you get down to the more specialist coals, and fuel instead, you go down the more higher quality. It's coal for steel. It's just the carbon they're looking for. So that goes into what they call a coking plant, and the impurities are burnt out in the coking plant. And those impurities are not as bad as thermal coal, because the fixed carbon's much bigger. So you might burn off 7-8% ash at the steel mill generally, and then the balance, the carbon, mixes with iron ore. And there's only two ways to make steel, which is an essential element in building a greener economy and building electric cars and the like, and infrastructure projects. One way is iron ore plus carbon. And what you're finding is that steel is becoming, is moving from your sort of traditional plate steel that Chevy and General Motors used to make near Detroit. And what you're doing now is you're using compound materials to make stronger and lighter electric vehicles. So Tesla, for example, uses boron steel in each of the pillars of its car and then builds the car out of carbon fiber. So to give the car strength for the heavy batteries, it's using a compound steel. More carbon, less iron ore, which is much better for the environment. It's better to have less iron ore and more carbon. And again, that carbon, as I touched on with Zach, is also used to make specialist steel for windmills and for solar panels and the like. So that's how you make steel. The only other way of making steel that's also environmentally friendly is to melt down previously made steel. If you're melting down previously made steel, scrap steel, you also have to inject carbon in it to get the strength back to what it was in the first place. So you're not doing the whole reproduction of manufacture of that iron ore, you're burning it down, adding carbon. So each way, carbon is an essential element. Now, they have been playing with hydrogen as a replacement for carbon, but that technology is 20 years plus away in a sizable scale to meet all the demand for the steel, which is rising, as previously discussed with Zach.
So what we're basically saying is that without this metallurgical coal, then really our green economy cannot transfer. It's not possible.
Exactly. You can't make a windmill. If you look at any of the wind turbines, all made out of a lighter steel. If you look at any solar panel, steel is involved in the manufacture. You can't make an electric vehicle without carbon. There's 60 pound of graphite, which is a purer carbon in the battery. And then in the production of the car, even if you're going to make it out of carbon fiber, which again is the carbon, you need a stronger, lighter steel like boron steel in the pillars of the car to support that, or else it's not safe. Mm-hmm. So it's a slight misnomer to think that you can get rid of carbon if you want to decarbonize in general. And by decarbonizing, what people really mean is they want to stop the burning of these fossil fuels into the atmosphere. It's the nasty part, the ash and the carbon that's burnt off in the production of the power that they're trying to avoid. But if you're turning it into a solid, it's not burnt off. So if you're using the carbon in a solid form like boron steel, it's not being burnt off into the environment.
Yeah. I think Anglo-American have just announced, haven't they, recently, that they're going to reduce their thermal coal operations and start to focus on the high-grade met coal, as you've already said, to help with this. Because, I mean, steel, as you say, is infinitely recyclable anyway. So that all you're doing is helping to produce a larger amount of steel, help the infrastructure. I mean, Biden's up for it at the moment, isn't he? And the Chinese are generating so much extra development now, lockdown's over. So how much has demand for steel gone up? Do you want to talk us through that
problem? Yeah, I mean, the best way to do it, right, rather than me sort of, try and sell to you, is if you have a look at Nucor or any of the major steel companies, you see their share price has gone from sort of $40 to 120. Yeah. So you're seeing a threefold increase in this company. That tells you how much the demand for steel is. And you're absolutely right about Anglo-American. They spun off Thungera Resources, separate company, actually has done well, but that's all their thermal power, so they don't want anything more to do with it, just taking a shareholder. But they kept all of the met coal mines, and actually their chief executive, came out with the saying carbon is essential for decarbonization. And if you're going to, after COVID, if you want to put your economies back to work, and you see all these major economies doing infrastructure projects, there's no other material other than steel that will support the concrete bridges or the roads or the hospitals. Steel is in every part of it. And the US and all these countries, India and Pakistan, they need this infrastructure. Whether you're putting people on rail or anything like mass transport, again, steel is an essential element. And because we've had underinvested infrastructure in the last couple of decades, in fact, this Biden infrastructure bill is the biggest public spending bill since the Second World War, since they put in the interstates in the US. So it's a huge, and it's not a 1 year or 2 year program. It takes a decade to put hospitals, roads, bridges, things. So you've got a decade of demand here. You've got the extra demand for the decarbonisation. And on top of that, you've got the supply, which has been decimated from decades of moving away from coal for power. It's a kind of decoupling between thermal coal and metallurgical coal. And you've seen that even from the biggest companies like Anglo American, FTSE 100, one of the biggest constituents, you know, and they're even picking up. So our play, Benn's Creek, is a pure metallurgical coal play.
Okay.
And I think we're the only one on the London's AIM market.
Yeah.
So just so we can go back 4 years ago, okay, because the world and his wife hated coal and coal companies were going broke like there was no tomorrow, because the coal price was so low and the demand, there was oversupply, I think, in a way. So what has changed in those 4 years? I mean, I remember...
Well, so I think the biggest thing, Kevin, there is the decoupling, right? You've got to talk about two types of coal. There's the more predominant thermal coal, which was used to generate power. It was the cheapest way, the dirtiest way, threw up all the ash and carbon into the... So as we've moved away from coal for power... You know, you also need coal for steel. So these things have decoupled. You've got a rising demand for steel, but you've got the supply, because you often coal for steel and coal from power have been mined together. We're one of the only mines that's able to separate them, because we're mining in the side of a mountain. We're able just to separate the met coal seams. So you've seen a move away. Coal is decoupled. So it's not now just one word. There's thermal coal and there's met coal. One, you don't want any more of, and we don't mine any thermal coal. That's the dirty one that pollutes it. Whereas you've got met coal, and it's an essential element. You can't have a cleaner economy if you don't have those windmills or electric cars or solar panels. You know, they can't be built out of wood or timber. They need to be built out of steel. And so that's what's happened. Just the price of thermal coal has gone down, putting them out of business. And what you've now seen is the price of met coal has tripled in the last year. It's gone from $100 a short ton. It's now trading at $395 for high vol A and $305 for high vol B. So you've got all these paradigms coming together, meaning that, you know, you will have a complete separation now between the dirty thermal coal and the met coal, which is an absolute essential element of any economy trying to decarbonize and trying to build its infrastructure out.
So a lot of the supply of the met coal has come off the market because the dirty coal, if you like, it was part of their business plan that they were mining.
Correct. Well, you generally, unless you're doing what we are, which is mining in the Appalachian Mountains, where you can come into the side of the mountain and separate the met coal. If you were doing a strip mine, if you were going straight down, you couldn't leave the thermal coal there. No one's ever put it back in the ground. So you took out the thermal coal, you sold that. You took out the met coal, you sold that. Thermal coal pricing, you know, even today, it's sort of $60, $70, maybe rising to $100. Met coal's $400. So we've just separated. We only go into thermal coal seams. Metallurgical coal seams. We don't touch any thermal coal because we don't want the environmental impact that burning of that coal has. We're happy with the using the coal for steel, because that is actually, you know, is a required element of both infrastructure and decarbonisation.
Yeah. So tell me, what is the intrinsic difference between the A and the B coal that you talked about?
Oh, that's just the volatility. That's just the impurities. So again, the higher carbon, the lower the volatile, the higher the quality of the coal. If you think about coal, it's like ash and fixed carbon. The less ash, the less impurities, the more fixed carbon, the better. So graphite, which, you know, you probably, no one really talks about graphite, but graphite is basically 99% carbon. So it's not called a coal because it's so fixed carbon. And another carbon element that I'm sure all your viewers know about is diamonds. They're 100% carbon, so they don't have any impurities. It's pure carbon. So, you know, I'd like to think that our, you know, anthracites, you know, 90% carbon, some of our coal's high in fixed carbon. It would be nice to find a few diamonds there. We're not going to. But effectively, you can see that periodic table of where pure carbon is diamond. Carbon is what produces the steel, and it's the impurities that come, you know, over those 100 millions of years that sit with the coal that makes it dirty. So thermal coal generally is bad or bad for the environment, and metallurgical coal is much better, much more purer, much more fixed carbon, much less ash than thermal coal.
So do you have potential then to have some of this high quality coal, or is it going to...
We have some. We have about 30% of our coal is high vol A and about 70% is high vol B. And again, it's just how deep you go. The under pressure, over hundreds of millions of years, the impurities are pushed out. If it hasn't had proper time to form, the impurities get stuck into the product.
Okay, so the offtake agreement you signed today, or we are an S today, this is for the B style coal.
Correct, that's for the B product. So I've still, that's not all my production, that's 22,000 tons a month. You know, that's worth at sort of $250 a ton. You know, he's talking about $70 million worth of revenue there, and you know, somewhere in the region, you know, I don't want to give an exact number, but you sort of 40-45 million of EBITDA, so at least one times the market cap in earnings. And we still have at the mine the high vol A coal, which is another $100 premium. I think last night it closed at $395 versus $305, so $90 more for the high vol A than the high vol B.
So you're saying that you think there'll be $45 million of EBIT. So
that's only for half the stated production. That's just on 22,000. We plan to do 500,000. So there's at least the same again that we haven't.
Even with this, that's probably around £35 million of, in inverted commas, profit with a few overheads. Yes.
Correct. No. Straight profit. Straight profit. The cost of production is about $95 a ton. So the other's pure profit. All of the SGA is in the $95 an American short ton.
Okay, so we've got a £35 million profit company next year. If nothing else happens, I'm just trying to give people the idea.
If nothing else happened, but again, I would be disappointed in that, Kevin, because that would mean we'd only produce half of what we said we could produce.
And how easy is it going to be? How easy, Adam, is it going to be to ramp up? You mentioned that the 500,000 ton figure is what you're comfortable with.
Even that 500,000 ton is a short number. The plant is rated at 3.1 million tons in a year. It can do 500 tons an hour. But again, when you do a listing, it's all about being conservative. You guys are the experts. You know, we want to underpromise and overperform. So we put a low number in for the production that we know we can easily do. We sold initially half of that production because we don't want to sell and then find in the first couple of months where there's a problem, one of the drill heads didn't, with the screen needed replacing. But as we build up, now the off-taker here, who is mentioned in the RNS, Integrity Coal, he's told me, if you can produce more coal, we'll buy it. There's an absolute huge demand for the coal, as evidenced by his offtake, his 12-month contract, and the price he's willing to pay. So if I can get up to 500,000, which I hope to very quickly, he'll take it all. So I should be able to double Kevin's number very quickly.
So talk us through the railroad, you know, there's a decent infrastructure at the mine site in West Virginia. Do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the essential, you know, there's a couple of things. I mean, firstly, let me be absolutely clear to every investor. This company did go bankrupt, absolutely. And the reason it went bankrupt is this infrastructure, a 5-mile railway line, a 500-ton, 3-million-ton wash plant and a rail loadout cost about $60 million to build. So the previous incumbent had $60 million of debt that he had to repay with the amortization and interest every month. And the coal price for him at the time was $100 a ton, minus $300. And he was mining thermal coal and met coal. I'm using a high wall miner, which is a very specific machine that everybody can Google. And that machine only mines thermal seam, metallurgical seams. So I'm only going after the high priced coal. So those are the factors why I think I'll succeed and the previous company failed. It had a $60 million of debt I don't have. It was mining thermal and met coal. I'm only mining met coal. And at the time, 3 years ago, met coal was $100 a ton. It's $300 a ton now.
Okay, makes sense. So basically, the economics of it make far more sense if
you're much more sense. But you're very lucky to buy this infrastructure because the barriers to entry now are huge. I've got all the permits, all the licenses. So the other thing that's happened is Biden in the US has made it very difficult to get, if not impossible, to get a new license. So you've seen a massive.
So how long is the line? The current license for? How long are you licensed for?
They run for perpetuity. They're every 5 years, but they're renewable. And because the infrastructure money's been spent, they can't be refused unless I violate, you know, some of the permit restrictions. So it's, you know, they need to deal in the US, only mines that have permits. So the barriers, for even if the richest fund in the world, Goldman Sachs or whatever, wanted to go and mine here, it would take them years to get the permits. It would cost them $60 million to build a 5 mile railway spur onto the main line and build a wash plant that would cost them $30 million. It would cost them so much money. Ours is already there, just needed to refurbed, which is some of the money we're using from the IPO to refurb it and then get into production very quickly. All the permits, all the licenses were kept. The beauty for me was this was run by Investec. As a bank, it's not a core asset for them, but they did do proper care and maintenance. They had it guarded 24 hours a day. They made sure that all the copper wires weren't stripped out, that all the steel wasn't stolen from the railroad. They knew that it would have no saleable value, even for a royalty stream, if they just let the local, you know, the locals in West Virginia help themselves, pillage and strip it to pieces. So it's in very good condition. And, you know, we're fixing it up with the money we raised from the IPO.
So you could call it effectively, you could call it a recommissioning of a former.
Oh, exactly, recommissioning the plant. And that's already started. We acquired the mine in the 11th of November last year. So a lot of the work is ongoing and we're on target to go back into production in December, the only 6-8 weeks away.
So really revenues are only 6 to 8 weeks away, really, really.
Correct. I mean, it'll take me a while to build up the first shipment, which is 22,000. So we're expecting the first shipment to go out at the end of January, but we will get paid as we put coal on the ground. There's a partial payment. So I would expect to have our first revenues in this calendar year.
And how are you going to be announcing those revenues? I mean, are you going to do a half-yearly statement of revenues? Or
I mean, we're a company on AIM, so we will follow our reporting guidelines. But I think the first thing you're going to see is us to RNS production started, first shipment gone. And you know that after we first shipped, you know, 5 days after the rail weights come back, we'll have been paid. So we're going to be earning margin very, very quickly.
Very good. It's an interesting time for the mining industry, really, because went through a hard time. I mean, I think is it Tungsten West that are going on the market again tomorrow?
Well, they've listed today. Yeah. They're an interesting company, you know, listed today. Very, you know, nice. Again, a speciality steel. I think they're mining a concentrate. You know, I think they're going to mine less than we are. I think looking at their prospectus, I think there's less margin in their business than ours, looking at the different prices from Tungsten. And yet they've got although they raised more money, their enterprise value, I think, was 60 million. And, you know, we're at 28 million before cash, so they're double our price, you know, and I would hope that we would be able to mine more than them and have better profit margins than them.
Yeah, and both mines effectively had been established prior, and now
it's the way to do it. I mean, it really is, Kevin, a great way to do it. Yeah, I mean, you want to buy infrastructure that's already in place. I think it's a great idea. Tungsten's a great project because you're buying infrastructure that's already gone in and you're getting it for cents in the dollar. I think they paid, you know, 5 million or something for the project. They put a lot of money into it, but it's the same principle. You know, you're buying, someone else has spent all the hard money to put a 5 mile railway line in, 52,000 feet, you know, rail load out so that you can load 100 rail cars of 100 tons each, you know, within a day. That's important to have a wash plant that can run 500 tons of product every hour. These things cost millions when they're put in, and the lead time now that the coal has turned to put them in is years.
Yeah. No, we visited a place in Cyprus for Kairos Minerals for copper, and they're the same thing. The open pit mine is already there. It's been mined, but because of the situation in 1974 when Turkey invaded Cyprus, then the mines were just left. So it's a similar situation that we're coming across in this mining, where the financials didn't work at that time, but now they work, you know. And going back to the numbers you talked about, or we talked about, 35 million at a PE of 3 to 5, so let's pick 4, is a market cap of what, 140 million.
And yeah, I mean, that's where I think, obviously, you know, that's where we'd like to get to. That's four times the current share price. I note you're on Carous Minerals. I did buy some of that in the IPO. Colin told me it's a good, and it's performed well. So, yes, you're looking at, in my opinion, you're looking at it exactly the right way. Find something with intrinsic value, goes onto the balance sheet. It's much safer for the investor than rather than go to the middle of Africa, have to, you know, get the land, worry about the title. I mean, America's a pretty safe rule of law, so we're not going to find a change of government or something and the title changes. And, you know, that infrastructure's on the balance sheet. If you go to the middle of Africa to find a mineral and then you have to build a wash plant and then you have to build a railway line and then you have to get it to port, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Okay, so if we talk Blue Sky now, we've talked sensible now, so we're going to talk Blue Sky. We talk sure. Blue Sky. I put you in the picture 24 months from now, or let's take the end of 2023. What sort of level of production could you imagine? And also, what type of reserve will have been categorized as reserve, because we've got 2.34 million tons is it, at the minute?
Yeah, that's the reserve, but the resource is 17 million and that just needs extensive drilling. No, this has been mined for hundreds of years. So I don't think there's any, I think we'll be way past the 17 million in 2 years. We'll be eating into the 50 million that's also identified in the Marshall Miller report. And I would like to see us at production. No, I mean, the wash plant has a capacity of 3.1 million. My first target would be 1 million tons, second year, 2 million tons. So 24 months out, you know, I'd like to be producing 2 million tons with a reserve base of 50 million.
Okay, so we're not going to calculate the share price based on that because...
We're not, because it would be ridiculous.
It would be crazy. Okay, but...
And there are other mines, because we've got the wash plant and the railway line, there are other mines surrounding us that cannot get to market without the infrastructure. We've been approached by a number of these mines. So I would also hope to have added one or two very sensible, cheap acquisitions to also grow our reserve base in 2 years' time.
So you're going to think about buying those mines rather than let them mine them and give you the
coal? We could do any of that. But, you know, the real value here is using our infrastructure. So I don't want to waste my infrastructure on their coal. I'd rather use a mine. So I'd rather do a deal with them where I purchase their reserves, because the money here is in the margins are huge at this time. And there are no other coal mines coming on board. And, you know, the time it takes to build wash plants and railway lines, you know, they would be better working with me and letting them come through my plant. I don't want to toll, as you're describing, for them, because I'm just, you know, utilizing my infrastructure and they're getting the fatter margin. So I want a share of those margins.
Okay. Do you want to open it up to any questions, Phil? There's nothing much else I can do.
If anyone wants to ask anything, they can unmute themselves and ask. So, or type your questions in the box.
Is there anything else you want to add, Adam?
No, I think you've covered it all. Great job. Nice to speak to you guys. Anybody who's in America, you know, obviously, welcome to come and have a look.
Yeah, we want to come and have a look anyway. We said that please, to you. Sort of March, April time. We're supposed to be going up to Canada to see a couple of assets up there for one of the other guys that we're dealing with. So we're going to try and coincide the flight to the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming, if you go to Chicago or something, you know, there's a direct flight 40 minutes away.
Yeah, very good. Any questions, anybody? Silence.
We've covered it. It's good. It's doing our job.
Okay.
Good.
All right, guys. I appreciate it a lot.
Well done and congratulations
again on the list. Adam, and great news. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Cheers. Bye bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye bye.